different strokes. But let me tell you about one thing I know. Everybody's got a seed to sow. Set your heart apart, take it down the road. Everybody's got a seed to sow.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the WPTF Weekend Gardener. I'm Mike Rayleigh. And Phil Campbell is sitting over here to my left. She owns Campbell Road Nursery. Hey there,
Good
Phil.
Good morning.
And Brother Rufus is the man who invented the pound cake.
Oh, man.
Rufus Edmonston.
Oh, man.
He's known Secretary of State, former Attorney General.
Mama's 12-egg pound cake. Can you believe that? That's a big pound cake.
12?
Gonna have a lot of chickens for that.
Yeah. There's... Is Helen's mic on? Yeah, I think it is. Helen Yost is with us, author, and just a super gardener. And you have a new book, and it is so exciting.
It is exciting.
Welcome back. We love having you on.
Well,
boy, I'll tell you, when it knocks you right in the face, beautiful cover, of course, Beginner's Guide to Garden Planning and Design, but a foreword by P. Allen Smith. Yeah. He was on the show years ago.
Really?
We've had a couple of the old Victory Garden people on, and P. Allen Smith, and a few other national-type people. I just haven't made an effort to get a national-type person on lately. We have such great gardeners in this area.
Yeah, why don't you do that? We've got people like Helen and Phil.
That's right.
Exactly.
We have the arboretums and the botanical gardens. Why bother? But P. Allen Smith, special. Nice guy, too.
A super nice guy.
So that was incredible for him to agree to do that. It makes it extra special. Gravitas.
Yes.
I assume that your intent was for beginners to be better garden and design planners.
Yes, and a lot of people have responded and saying this goes beyond beginners. So.
Oh, I'm sure it does.
Yes, because it's not a how-to or a why-to, it's a where-to. For example, I want to add an arbor. What's going to be the best place to do that? I want to add a bench. I want to build a wildlife habitat. What do I want to include? That sort of thing.
Yeah. And there are a lot of different chapters, but the first one I turned to, and I'm turning back to it, is fragrance in the garden.
Yes.
Because that is so important to me. I mean, color, knocking yourself out with color and your neighbors, but fragrance, it just draws people in.
And then what you want to do is plant it where you're going to be. So, for example,
rubbing up against rosemary as you walk by.
Yeah. Yes, I'm going to be picking up some rosemary next week at Campbell Road Nursery.
So, what other examples?
Well, I have an Edgeworthia. You know, it's going to bloom in the winter.
Yeah.
And so I have that on my back porch. And so I get to see the flowers and smell them as well. So, you know, the intention is to put it where you know you're going to be. So, if you have a rose garden and that's what you want to smell, then put your bench or a hammock or something near there.
Well, I got up this morning, 15 to 6, and did my usual walk around, and the osmanthus.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And I have Helen, Phil's seen it, Mike's seen it.
They're huge.
I do the rule, I break the rule about putting the same thing in a line, but I put about 6 30 years ago, and you can smell it.
Before you see it.
Yeah.
Oh, much, much. And it's just loaded down. The rain knocked it down. Mm-hmm. And I thought, what a wonderful plant.
Yeah.
And they're at least 35 feet tall.
There is. And we have one, an orange form, very special at the Jocelyn Garden.
So, you know, I...
I don't have orange, yeah.
They are striking. They they really are, with the tiny little orange flowers.
Mm-hmm. And they're not... They're evergreen, so they make a good hedge to hide things. And
they don't have any...
Thing.
Problems.
Nope.
I found none. In fact, speaking of the hedge, I parked my car between the osmanthus hedge and the garage. You can't see the car.
That's the point, yeah. So when you're looking to create privacy, that's like the perfect thing. You might not want your whole backyard in a hedge, but if you like to cook out in the summer and you want to block the neighbor behind you's shed, then add an osmanthus.
Exactly what it does.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think we've probably sold a lot of them on this show. We've talked about them so much.
Yeah.
I think it's on the tip of my brain. I love it so much.
You need to look for an orange form.
Yeah, I don't have an orange one. Do you have any, Phil?
Yeah, well, I don't orange? Think we do right now, but we have them. We basically have them a lot.
Let's so do that. Let's
probably
let's...
have them for the.
Are there?
If we haven't gotten them in, we'll get them in for the fall.
Are there different cultivars of the orange? I mean, are there name varieties that, or is there just one?
I think Phil might be able to answer that better.
Phil,
than
you,
I.
Do you know
I
if there's
the only one I know is the one that I can't even remember what the name of it is. But it's the one that we get that every fall,
yeah.
Like, you know, early fall.
Is it as scented as the white?
No, I don't think
You're going for color on that one.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna stick with what I got.
Okay.
There you go.
And I think it needs a little more. I think it needs a little more sun, than the regular one, because
yep.
I have one, and it's not in a full sun area, and I don't get a lot of bloom from it.
Right.
And you know, and the blooms don't last as long as they do on the white. I noticed that. Maybe a week, but it's a spectacular week.
I know, absolutely. Yeah.
I like the white better.
And there are a lot of different white varieties. Mm. Some with they're just flowers, larger flowers. And more flowers.
Now, I'd like to know more about that.
What is the variety that you have? A variety that you sold as a smaller, isn't it? A smaller variety.
It stays
a little smaller. It doesn't get up to 35 feet. But
I'll have to check in with Lane because he's in charge of all of that.
Okay.
So I'll check with him and find out.
Do find out.
I'll do it. Yep, we'll get it done.
Yeah. I have a variegated one that doesn't bloom. But it looks like a holly to me.
No, that's
That's not a osmanthus, but it's not a fragrant osmanthus.
It's just variegated osmanthus.
It's pretty.
But it doesn't bloom either.
Well, you're buying it for the variegation.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They can only do so many things at once. You know, you have garden seeding.
It is important. We think we're so busy as gardeners that we don't have time to sit down, but you need to look at your reward. Your garden is your reward at the end of the day or coffee in the morning. And I like putting seeding where I can look back at the house, not just the garden itself.
Yeah, and a bench can just be kind of, focal point.
Absolutely.
In a garden, mm-hmm. I mean, it can be just for show.
It's nice if you
put it where you can sit down. Now, Rufus has a chair. It doesn't look like a very comfortable chair, but you sit down in.
Uh-oh, don't even talk about it.
It's a very heavy, Helen, chair made out of steel that I got at one time in Durham, and it's in the form of an oak tree.
Oh, wow.
And the other day I was leaning back real gently, I thought. Over it went, right on top of me.
Oh, no.
And I had had a heck of a time getting out of there, and Phil almost had to send a wrecker
came over.
Palmer
came over, but it doesn't have enough support.
In the back.
In the back of it.
It's got two yeah. It's a huge thing.
We're going to have to do
one
concrete
standard.
Yeah.
One standard in the back.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Concrete
and,
put a brace on it.
We're going to fix that thing.
Yeah, it's got it.
Absolutely. So you called Palmer instead of EMS.
Well, I was.
Good land. He's like, I'm under the chair. I'm like, oh, good grief.
What are your what did you enjoy writing about most in this book?
Well, I think there are a lot of great how-to garden books out there.
Yeah.
But You see some gardens and it just makes it sing, and you don't know what that magic is. And hopefully this book is giving you the tips on how to make that magic. I tell a story about Mr. Dale, who lived in Oakwood down the street from me, and it was in a Victorian house that was split as a duplex. And I didn't know Mr. Dale, didn't know if it was first or his last name. I just went by every day on my way to work, and I was just enthralled with his garden. One day I go to work and it's just not right anymore. He took away all the elements. I learned that the homeowner was going to take it back to a single family home and raise a family. So he had to find new digs. And then he took all his stuff with him. The plants were still there, with the arbor that he had put up, with the vine going over it and the steps going in, and it perfectly
it situated. Lost its personality.
It lost its absolutely lost its personality.
Yeah. And there's a little section here highlighted. Consider the light.
Yeah.
Do you see the light?
I see it in here.
Yeah. So that morning, that is important with plants.
Well, it's also important with like photography in particular. You know, when I used to produce stories for Better Homes and Gardens and Silent Living and such, our morning was started at sunrise because that is the kindest and the most, you know, respectful light. So you have to respect the light. You know, I have a Tinka Jordy sculpture because I also collect garden art, and the afternoon sun hits her just right, and it's so beautiful. So consider the sun, but also the aspects of the sun too.
We have a very colorful whirligig that kind of the ends of it are kind of see-through and very colorful, and you know, reflect the light and refract. And
so, do you have it in the perfect place then?
I don't. We haven't decided if it's the perfect place. It doesn't spin enough, I think.
Well, that's a wind thing.
Yeah, but I mean, it is out amongst the plants.
Yes,
rather
yes.
Tall plants, so it just kind of blends in.
Well, I like it that you said that because when people are placing garden art, they often think that it just should be this standalone when it really should be hugging other plants. It shouldn't be, you know, unless you have a sculpture garden, like a very she kind of thing. But a home garden, you just tuck it in amongst your plants, and it looks so much better.
Mm-hmm. It does. Now, I know how interested in bees you are.
I am.
And there are bees, photos of bees, but there's also a chapter on wildlife gardens.
Yes, and I am a wildlife gardener first and foremost. So I could have done a book on that and probably might want to do it one day, but I'm also a sustainable gardener, so I don't use any pesticides or herbicides. And I also buy host butterfly plants because they're critical in the life cycle of butterflies. So you can't, if you just have flowering plants, you're only going to get visitors. If you have host plants, you'll have residents.
Mm-hmm. What are some exact? Yeah. We were looking at that, and that's a bumblebee.
Yes.
That's a nice picture of.
And that coneflower.
All fluffy.
Oh, the coneflowers are starting to look. This is their season coming up here.
Yeah.
They're looking good.
Coneflowers are nice and have spectacular colors. They come in a lot of different colors, including NC State Red.
But now for a wildlife habitat, you don't want any of the double blooms. You want single blooms so that you have the most access to nectar and pollen.
Huh.
Now, this looks so serene. Most people hate that.
Critter, what is it, chapter Critter Control?
Oh, yeah.
I'm anxious to read that. I think a dog
a picture
and a fence.
Of a deer.
and on the double bloom, single bloom, that doesn't apply to a deer.
No. He'll eat anything.
He'll eat anything.
Yeah. You know, except hellebore.
Well, yeah, that's poison. And voles won't eat it either, which is nice.
Yeah.
Mm. We had a lady come in yesterday right in the middle of the storm. She said that the town of Cary had not planted any, like, host plants for the butterflies anywhere around. But there's tons of – she had tons of black swallowtails. So she was trying to find something for them to eat. And she had all the caterpillars, but no food. So we had the same problem. So we finally went up to the grocery store. I don't typically do this, but we got some parsley and we washed it thoroughly. Mm-hmm. And hopefully they're going to be okay with it.
What's that for?
We've got about
swallowtail.
75 black swallowtails right now, the caterpillars.
So what host plants do you all recommend?
Well, black swallowtails love parsley and they love fennel.
Anything in the carrot family, basically, too.
Yeah, and carrot tops.
I can rescue some of those because I have a lot of fennel when I come on Monday.
Okay.
You need help. I had to rescue some pipevine swallowtails from the Jocelyn Garden hundreds of them.
Well, there's hundreds of them over there, and see, if you don't, well, it's if you don't get them, the mm-hmm. wasp,
I know,
the beneficial wasp will sting them,
mm-hmm.
and then they won't make it.
I have a picture of that on my phone right now.
Yeah.
So you have to. Yeah, go ahead, Phil.
If you can rescue some of the caterpillars, it would be great, because we've already had three in the last week to week and a half. We've already had three to come out and fly.
Nice.
One yesterday. So it's really a fun thing.
It is a fun thing.
And it's beneficial.
It is beneficial because they are pollinators. But,
right.
If you want to have a butterfly garden, you need to have the host plants.
Right.
So you were asking, Mike, about other examples.
Yeah.
Well, the milkweed is the classic example because of the monarch butterfly. And I have a lot of milkweed in my garden. In fact, I bought some from Phil just a couple of weeks ago because I'm going to have an open house, open garden on October 5th.
Mm.
And I wanted to spruce some things up. So I'm coming. That's why I'm going back again on Monday to get some more plants. Because we had taken out four trees, and I opened up a lot more light.
And that really makes a difference in the landscape with what type of plants you have there. It gives you a lot more opportunity, really.
It does, and particularly wildlife plants. They like a lot of sun. The coneflower, the rudbeckias, and mm-hmm. some of my favorites are the rudbeckias, but. But I like the old-fashioned Goldstrom. It's my favorite, Rudbeckia.
My favorite is phlox, tall phlox.
I know you love that. And which ones do you grow?
All I know is purple, pink eye. They're just
white.
Tall phlox.
Oh, a phlox.
You got white.
Yeah, that's David.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
White's a good one. And that is mildew-resistant, because mm-hmm. I never have it on that. And then you probably have Laura with the pink eye. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then there's just... pink. So you're probably right about that.
I found that it spreads. The purple one spreads for some reason. I don't know whether it's by seed or root.
Is it the little tiny flower one?
Yeah.
That's Jenna. And it was just recently introduced. And it has more visitors of butterflies than any of the other flocks. It was some testing done in a Wave Hill. So,
yeah, well,
it does spread, but that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, but by seed or just roots or what?
Seed, because I've had it popping up in my garden in the most fascinating places. But that's the other thing, because it does produce seeds, the phlox in general. And I like seeing the goldfinch eating the seeds as much as I like the flowers themselves.
Hanging on for dear life and
yeah.
eating the seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Wow, we've already zipped to a half hour. More coming up on the WPTF Weekend Gardener. It's 8:27. You're listening to The Weekend Gardener on WPTF, approaching our 40th year, or 80th, with John Harris. I've only done half. John did the other half. So he was great. Did you know John Harris?
I did not.
Oh, Helen, he was a wonderful man. He had he was very funny. And he, professor emeritus of horticulture. He was a extension professor at NC State, and he just a marvelous man. I got to work with him a little bit toward the end, and he gave it up in 1985. Mm. So we brought in Irv Evans, who had made a couple of appearances on. Ask Your Neighbor, along with Tony Avent, they kind of alternated, and so it was. We're very lucky to have had all of this gardening, and even before that, the Raleigh Garden Club ladies back in the 30s would make appearances, and they were kind of erratic as to when they could come. You know,
the date or the members.
The members, so whether they would come in. So John said, "Well, I'll just do it." Every week. So he did. It was only 15 minutes, but know, radio was is great now, but it was all we had for a long time.
Well, you know, the Raleigh Garden Club is, I think they're celebrating their 100th anniversary.
They're 100.
So that's really.
And so is WPTF.
Yeah. So that is that's great.
And Elizabeth Lawrence was part of that. I don't know if she started it or just part of a team who started it. And she was a beloved columnist.
And wrote some wonderful books, talked about a great deal. And let's not forget her.
I know.
We forget. I worry that people have already forgotten some of the great people here at WPTF that were, you know, part of this station for decades. And that's part of the reason we have that montage. You know, you try not to forget them. But see what you missed.
Right.
Incredible talents.
Well, I have a little note in history here that when 1978, when I moved into what I call Myrtle Manor, the daughter of the of Dr. Lawrence, Raleigh's first orthodontist, had told her that Elizabeth Lawrence used to visit with his mother.
Oh, nice.
At my home.
Oh, wow. I'm sure. Yeah. So he had quite a garden there didn't he?
Mainly the huge pecans and other things. And there is a very unique arbor there that was built from the time. So I have a little Elizabeth Lawrence visiting there saying hello.
That's really nice. She was NC State's first woman architectural landscape graduate.
Wow.
I mean, that's some pride in NC State right there.
Hmm.
And for many years, we had one of NC State's first female professors on this show, Ann Clapp.
Yeah.
Not horticulture, but...
textiles.
Textiles, but she knew a lot.
Yeah, she did know a lot.
I used to ask her, I said, how did you pick up gardening? She said, well, just observing.
And she,
that's right.
She came to NC State the same year that Mr. Ralston, Professor Dr. Ralston came, and they became friends. Mm-hmm. So
that's part of it. You can learn a lot that way.
Yeah, and then she became a master gardener. So this show and station has quite a history.
You were mentioning John Harris. I remember the show when it started, but in later life, my mother-in-law was at this retirement home, and John Harris was there, and I got to walk out with him. They had a little spot for gardening there at what's the name of the
Springmore.
Yeah.
And talked with him and how much he had admired you, Mike Raley.
Wow.
And he was out there puttering around and said, don't do much gardening, but I can watch it grow.
Well, yeah. I'll tell you, when I used to, and whoever was on duty on Saturday mornings, and I was the morning disc jockey, would do the show with him. And at that point in my life, I didn't really know that much about gardening. Anyway, but thanks to people like Helen and all of you and all the great gardeners we've had on, Irv Evans, I have learned. You know, it certainly helps.
Well, I've learned
doing
this
a 3-hour show.
Dangerous.
Well, I can be. I think we all kill things, but I have found in my landscape that I have overplanted and that everything is happy.
Better, better than
just
not.
Can't.
Yeah.
If there's Helen, and Phil knows this so well. If there's a square foot that doesn't have something in it, there's going to be.
It's going to be.
But you do have sections of your garden that are very formal, like the rose garden area.
Right.
So, but you know, and you have borders. But
I think you've
placed plants pretty well, much better than I.
Well, now, Mike, you can figure out what to do to make them look good with my
I'm
new
so
book.
Glad to, but that means I gotta pull up some plants. But you know that has been suggested to pull up plants that you are tired of or maybe don't like. Maybe give them away if you're able to. I know it is hard to do, and plant something else.
Yes, and also remember that plants will die, and it's not necessarily your fault. It's just nature,
right? Like voles.
That's it.
Oh, I love that.
Fragrant Francis.
I have a foot-tall camellia that hadn't grown an inch. that somebody rooted for me in 12
well,
years.
Well, maybe it's...
I'm going to pull it up. I'm
mad at it. It's a dwarf variety.
Yeah.
About a foot tall.
Well, maybe that's it.
Wow, that's a unique.
And I can't make my...
So it's an instant bonsai.
We go down to see Rose.
Stick it in your hypertufa.
And get my Rose Rhodes. Said she had air layered me a...
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What was the name of that camellia?
American something or All-Star no. or...
Oh, it had a... Anyway, it's something I'd never heard of.
Yeah, we got to go get. We got to take a road trip, Rufus, and go get it.
I can't remember that camellia. Well,
she'll call and tell us.
Yeah.
But the one thing that I saw a chapter in there too, gardening. If you don't enjoy it, why be there?
Mm-hmm.
So if you got a little mistake here and there, or a big plant in front of a small plant, if you like to look around the big plant, just enjoy it.
Yep.
That's what gardening's for, enjoying it, like this morning at 6 o'clock. Encounter with the osmanthus will go with me all day long.
Yeah.
There's something in the introduction here that makes me laugh. Be practical.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Boy, I could, well, how much you spend on plants or, in thinking out this design. And we should have designs.
We should have
designs. We should.
But now, also, Mike, can I mention that we're going to do a book giveaway?
Yeah, please do.
And so we're going to choose a winner of from one of the listeners. And what you need to do is go to my Facebook page, Helen Yost. There's an E in there, Y-O-E-S-T. And friend me and then put a note that says, hi, Helen. And I will choose from there. And... you can pick it up at my open house, and I will send you the information when I get you on Facebook that you can come on October 5th. But, yes, come and enter your chance to win, and I would love to hear from you.
All right. 919-860-9783. Rose is
with us. She's listening.
Yeah, I need to...
I'm here.
Rose, how are you?
I'm doing great this morning. How are you?
So you were listening, and we spurred you to call. We need to do that every week because you don't call often enough. So what is the name of this camellia that you air-layered for Rufus?
Oh, I have air-layered him a... Grand Slam camellia.
Grand Slam.
Take baseball, Rufus. Baseball.
Oh, boy.
How tall does it get?
Probably not worth it, but he wants it, and I'm going to give it to him if he'll come.
How tall does it get? Do you have a specimen in your yard?
Pardon?
Do you have a specimen of this plant in your yard?
I do, but it's real pitiful looking.
Okay.
Oh, don't pull it up yet.
I never pull up
anything.
Now, Helen... Rose has written a book about propagating plants.
Oh, wow, nice.
That you can get on Amazon. What's
the name of it?
Plant Propagation, a Primer by Rose.
I've seen that.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Rose is one of our longtime listeners and down in Princeton, where they used to grow a lot of iris.
Yeah, that nice lady. What was her name, Rose? Miss Powell?
We can't think of
Lolita Powell.
Lolita Powell. We can't think of anything this morning.
I must have broken my Friday night habit.
I don't know. Fragrant Princess Dwarf Tea Olive is what I was thinking of.
Oh, Helen. Wow. Yeah. Look at that.
Yeah. So you can...
try and find that.
Yeah. Because this is... do you have any of those still?
Okay. We do.
You do have some of those.
Okay. Well, Rose, I want again... to ask you to give the description of the air layering. I've never tried it.
Oh, I do that in about March because that's just before things start growing. And I take a branch that I think if I wanted to cut it off, it would kind of look like a little tree or something.
Or a switch.
Yeah, something like that. Just about the size of your index finger. And you gird it all the way around. And then you go up about a fourth of an inch and gird it again and then scrape all that bark and all that cambium right down to the wood. Don't leave any green cambium on there. And then you take moist sphagnum moss, and I put that a handful of that in my hand, and I hold it up under there, and I have a square of heavy-duty, aluminum foil, and wrap that around it. And I wrap the top one way, and I twist it one way, and the bottom I twist another, and fix it so that you don't want any water to get in it. And then if I do that in March, and then if there's any bloom buds on there, I pull them off, all of them but one. And then if you do that in March, and then when it roots, you pot it up about July or something, and then in winter, you have a camellia.
Nice.
And so I could sell a lot of camellias like that. Anything that has a bloom on it, you can sell it.
Can I do something like that with a native azalea?
I don't see why not.
You can.
Okay.
Just pull off all the leaves for about the width of your hand.
Okay.
And then do that.
So that's a much...
Pardon?
That's more length of removing the camellia then.
Yeah, scrape everything off until you get to the wood.
Okay.
And then I put Rooton or Osmocote or something like that, some kind of rooting stuff on there.
Because we have some really, really nice ones in the Jocelyn Garden, and I'd like to see them. I mean, they're unusual. They've been there 50 years. I'd like to see them propagated.
Yeah, don't forget to cut it off from the host plant.
Yeah, that might work better.
It's funny, Helen, Rose does not like roses that much.
I'm surprised because your parents obviously liked roses. Your mom.
That's got to be a Freudian thing there, Rose.
Well, Rose, I'm still anticipating whether or not my Daphnes have rooted where I took a pot of potting soil, limb down in there, packed it heavy with up, and put a brick on the top of it.
Right.
And this fall it will be a year. Isn't that enough time?
Oh, yeah, it should be rooted if it's going to root, yeah.
Well, we'll see.
It's a wonderful way to have a plant. That's the way I did the corallus, the hairy louder walking stick. I never could those.
Oh, my.
And stool them.
I have a magnificent one in my front garden. It's I put it in the first plant I planted 27 years ago. It is probably 12 feet tall and wide. Beautiful thing.
Oh, gracious. Mm-hmm. Well, of course, the prettiest part of it is when the leaves fall.
Yes. It's a winter interest plant for me.
Yeah, I love to take, when it has new growth in the spring,
mm-hmm.
and when that gets hardened off, cut those off and put them in a vase. It makes a wonderful arrangement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could probably do that with my little water sprouts that come up at the root.
Oh, yeah. Oh, is that corallus? I mean, is that...
Yeah.
It's on its own root, so it's the real plant when it comes up, right?
It's curly stem is what I have, so I think it was probably put on a regular plant.
Uh-huh.
They're not curly when they come up. They're straight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that wouldn't be fun.
So they get like me, sort of crooked to get older.
So to speak.
Well, now, I'm using that word.
I almost fell off the chair.
Here we go.
As a reporter, noticed that.
Hey, Rufus, immediately. Did I tell you what I'm going to cook for you if you come to see me?
No, okay, Rose.
You said you were taking me out, but I'm going to cook.
You want to? I'm the chauffeur, so.
Yeah, I want to hear what you want to cook.
Make sure you feed me, too.
I want to hear her first.
Just let me know how many is in your pocket.
What are you cooking?
Just two of us, as far as I know.
What are you going to cook, Rose?
The hobo dinner. Do you know what that is?
You mentioned it, but I've forgotten.
Well, you take a piece of tinfoil and put a hamburger patty on it, and then onion on top of that, and thinly sliced potatoes, salt and pepper, and cover it up and bake it for 45 minutes.
And then you can put slaw chili and onions on it. I mean, slaw chili and mustard if you want.
Touched by human hands.
That sounds like a good idea.
Okay, well,
wonderful.
We'll try and do that soon. On a Friday.
Rose, have you propagated Daphnes?
Daphne odora.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried.
Oh, don't say that to me.
Rose, you haven't been able to do that?
I couldn't hear that.
You haven't been able to root them successfully?
Well, I can't remember a lot about that, but I could stool those sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I have one that's really old. It part of it died, and I cut off all that ugly-looking stuff, and it's still growing out there probably 20 years.
Good.
Can't believe it.
That must mean you paid no attention to it, didn't water it.
Mm-hmm. Ignored it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I wanted to tell you, I collect seed, and I collected some Japanese iris seed on the 20th, and they've already germinated.
Wow.
I'm so happy about that.
10 days later? Wow.
Yeah.
You've got the touch.
Great.
Ms. Powell would be proud of you.
Yeah.
My neighbors and stuff.
Have you ever heard of the red, yellow flag iris?
Oh, yeah, I have that in my woodland garden.
Those are so wonderful about seeding. Mm-hmm. It's like picking a bean.
Mm-hmm.
Opening up there, and all those seeds, and they just come up. If they touch the ground, they come up. I love that plant.
I had a woman in my neighborhood who knew how to do herbs, and she used that flag for some kind of colic for babies or something like that.
Really?
Huh. Do it, you women who have children. Don't listen to me.
Well, Rose, we always love talking to you. You need
and
to I'm call us.
That you're here.
We'll kind of spur you on and say, I wish Rose would call because we don't know this or that. Well, that's the way to get you to call. So we'll do that in the future.
Let's remember, folks, Grand Slam.
Grand Slam. Yep. Baseball. Baseball. Hit a Grand Slam, Rufus.
It is a pure red. It's beautiful. And Rufus, it has one bud on it. Boom bud.
Oh, bingo. Great.
So great. Is this state red? Is this NC State red, Rose?
Pardon?
Is it NC State red?
Oh, yeah. It's just pure.
A lot
of camellias that are red have that blue look, but this is pure red.
Oh, very good. Nice.
You'll love it.
All right, Miss Rose, we'll be in touch.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to me.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks for listening to us. Bye. All right, let's go to Joe in Durham. Joe, good morning. You're on WPTF.
Hello?
Hello, Joe.
Yes, I'm looking for a good apple fruit tree that I don't have to spray. Or it's the type of fruit tree you've seen grow around old home places.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know where I can find one?
I do. I have a good recommendation because I grow fruits. I grow a lot of different fruits in my garden. It's actually considered a crab apple, but it's a big old-fashioned fruit, and it's called Transcendent.
Do you just pick it off the tree and eat it?
Just pick it off the tree and eat it.
What does it taste like?
Just like one of the
chicken?
It tastes like an old-fashioned apple. And it was recommended to me by J.C. Ralston, and I never had a chance to grow it. Until now, and I've had it for years, and I get bushels full. Sometimes girls get some, but I have more than I need.
So you don't have any disease problems or
spray, and it doesn't need a friend. It doesn't need a propagator.
Plenty of sunlight?
Right. Plenty of sunlight.
Okay, and it's transcendent.
Mm-hmm.
Transcendent.
Do you need to prune it?
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that. I did prune it, and it doesn't look really that good. I didn't do that well of a job. But if you prune the tips after it fruits each year, it'll be well-behaved. I waited too long when I did mine, and I had to took off, like, 2-inch calibers.
Where did you get this one?
Pardon?
Where did you get it?
You know, I don't remember where I got it now, but if you go to Campbell Road and ask for one to be brought in, mm-hmm. I'm sure they will accommodate that.
Phil just wrote it down, so she'll certainly check on
it. It's a true winner, and it was recommended by J.C. Ralston. And my friend Suzanne Edney, she's a retired designer. She has one in her garden as well. And same thing, no spray, sunshine, lots of apples, good tasting old-fashioned apples.
Okay, I got another question. You know, this something bothers me from Durham and Raleigh. We talk about the best cities and all that, but I never hear anybody talk about what's the prettiest city. And what concerns me for Raleigh, the city of oaks, and every time I say something, we're cutting down trees and we're not replacing them.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like a big development.
Yeah.
You'd be lucky to see a tree in 1 or 2 yards. And, you know, I'm thinking when I look at it, it sort of reminds me of a modern Archie Bunker development.
That is a shame.
And yeah.
Is Raleigh ever thinking about trying to look
Well,
at
they it? Do have they do What's have a lot of
the best city or the best one to live in.
I know it, when you build a shopping center or anything, they require businesses to have trees every so many square feet.
And I know I did a recent design for a lot that had been raised. There was nothing left on the lot, and the city of Raleigh came in and gave them a list of trees that they have to put back from where they took down, and they were all native trees.
Yeah, but they're building so fast, I guess they just haven't planted the trees yet.
Right. Yeah.
Well, that was just, you know, I would like for the, you know, even, you know, maybe NC State or somebody really to start looking. And when you go into develop, how do you develop it with making it a nice landscape?
Yeah. Well, they certainly have a lot of restrictions and rules for that in Raleigh, and I assume that somebody polices that. But
yeah. You mean something other than sticking a couple of boxwoods next to the foundation?
Yeah.
Well, they don't even do that. What I see, they don't even put any shrubbery around the house. They put it once because they don't want to go back and have to trim any shrubbery. So
yeah.
You might see a lonely tree.
Are these private homes, or are they apartment complexes or condominiums or tall buildings or what?
Now, maybe I like put 300 houses in the area,
yeah.
And you know you and their houses just packed together, and you know, that's luck to me. That's what I see the trend both here in Durham and in Raleigh.
Yeah, well. I don't know. All I can say is that they do have requirements, and I don't know if everybody follows them, but there are inspectors.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I think the word requirement, I'd hope the person who's developing it would just want to make their area nice.
Well, you would think so, but they've got to move on to the next project.
Money's more important than looks, yeah. Isn't it?
Well, that's true. That's always been true, Joe.
Yeah.
But what everybody forgets is we don't have any. We've got to have the trees.
Yes.
To produce oxygen.
That's right.
That's the key thing.
Got to remember it.
Joe, we got to run. We got news coming up. But thank you for mentioning that.
You might add that on to, when you're just sort of generally talking.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, we got to go. Thank you, Joe.
Okay,
bye bye.